pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. We made it to Tuesday. Thank you for being with us. Coming up on the program here in just about a half hour or so from Pathway Church. Travis Johnson going to make time with us. Some follow-up here on this whole icky visit mobile virtue signaling exercise. They're going to show us. They're going to do Pride Month, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we go through this every... It's funny how we dodge this in election years. But once the elections are over, we're back to doing what we do every other year. So we're going to get into that with Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church in about a half hour. Paul DeMarco, he hasn't been on in a while, but I always enjoy talking to him and finding out what he's hearing and what he thinks. And I guess in particular, we kind of have an idea of what Alabama government will look like in 2027. So we'll talk to him in the 10 o'clock hour, and then the 11 o'clock hour. It is Tuesday. We'll talk to my friend Will Hampson. Some things going on up on Capitol Hill. I think Trump is supposed to make a trip over to Capitol Hill. Is the Save America Act still really a thing? Election outlook. I'm telling you, and we'll talk to Will about this, but I still think it's a strong Democrat ballot in November, but it's starting to trend back to Republicans' way already. And it's not really because of anything that Trump is or isn't doing. Just kind of the conditions on the ground. You could see the momentum. You could see it in the daily polling. It's still not great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you, hey, it's going to be, you know, a new day in America on November 4th. But things may not be as bad as they seem right now if it continues in this on this trajectory. Also, text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, what you got to do, you got to text me and let me know what's on your mind, and we'll do our best to respond to any of those. A few things. We talked about this yesterday with Congressman Carl, our former Congressman Carl, soon to be Congressman Carl, pretty much likely getting. He got the Trump endorsement. So did Rep. Marcus. The two of them getting their getting endorsed by the president. And why does this matter? So it's my thinking that it matters, not that it's going to sway a bunch of elections your way or anybody's way when you get the Trump endorsement, but it is a signal on fundraising. It'll make it harder for your opponents to raise money against you. Not that they were going to do that well in the first place. And it's sort of a nod to other entities to get behind candidates. It's probably bigger for Rep. Marcus than for Donald Trump. I mean, for Jerry Carl. Because there's a lot of unknowns in the 2nd Congressional District. And he is a state lawmaker. We know who he is. But otherwise, he's an unknown to, I guess, the Washington, D.C. establishment types. So, it freezes everyone out. and it allows leadership to get behind somebody. Now, also yesterday, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, endorsed Jerry Carl. So that one looks like, I mean, I guess anything could happen. But we're headed that way. Who would have thought, we would have these new congressional lines, and here we are talking about a special election in August. And we're probably going to line up that way. Now, Rep. Marcus is going to have to play all the way to the whistle because he's still got to beat an incumbent Democrat in November. He'll need some help. I mean, it's not a layup. He's still a favorite. It's still a Republican district. But when the legislature drew that district, if you go back and they talk about the 2023 maps, the 6-1 map, it was drawn as a quote-unquote opportunity district by the legislature. Now, the lower courts said, no, this isn't an opportunity district. Here, we'll do it. But they still drew it not to the not the most optimum 6-1 map. They still drew it with the idea that a Democrat could have a chance. Well, this would be the one chance, the Democrats' best shot, to put this to test. Because he'll be Congressman Figures will be well funded. He's an incumbent. We talked about that a lot. And like I said, it's lined up with a candidate from the rural part of the district against a candidate from the urban part of the district. And Democrats in general are going to be fired up. Just sort of the boomer Trump derangement syndrome types will be out to vote. But additionally, you got your typical Alabama Democrats, sort of the black power structure in this state, rallying around the Democratic Party because of the Louisiana decision. So Congressman Figures got a lot going for him. If there's a shot to keep that a blue district, and it's a long shot, but this would be it. Because I think after this, I think if it does go that way, 2028 is going to be 7-0. But 7-0 won't be easy. Everybody's district is going to get more Democratic if you take away Terry Sewell's seat. But for now, that's kind of the thing to keep an eye on. If there was anything to be intrigued about for November, it would be AL2, and I think just watching Madison County and North Alabama and seeing if the Republicans turn out in an off-cycle year. I don't think Dale Strong's in trouble, but there could be a state Senate seat and certainly a House seat with Marilyn Lands holding on there. And then the other thing, and this is also something that I really thought about until lately, though, Doug Jones on the ballot and out there talking about Tommy Tuberville's residency or whatever, if you want to buy that. That doesn't really land with us in this audience. Maybe two or three of you. But it will land with some Democrats, and don't get out to vote for that. Doug Jones will have some coattails. So there are a cycle for Democrats for them to have something to work with here to try to take some shots downfield. This is it. November would be it. You have the backdrop of an anti-Trump incumbency. You have what is the Dobbs of 2026 would be this Louisiana decision. And you're going to have a incumbent congressman. Incumbents are always hard to beat. who's going to be able to raise some money. So see what they can do. And I have my doubts. I think the Democratic Party structure with Joe Reed is not interested in winning elections. It's more of a piggy bank, kiss the ring sort of environment in the Alabama Democratic Party right now. But they're in a much better spot here than probably they were in the 2018 cycle. Remember 2018, if we're going to compare the two, with Trump as president, Democrats thought, you know, we won with Doug Jones, and you had Democrat candidates on this ballot, but you had a Democratic power structure that wasn't really interested in helping them. What you have to do in Alabama Democratic Party politics, if you follow this for any amount of time over the years, Joe Reed runs something called the Alabama Democratic Conference or something. And it's I think he brands it as the African American wing or the black wing of the Democratic Party. And it's kind of a throwback to when we were a one party state and Democrats ran everything. But you still had that like separation. So what you have to do to get him to back your candidates, you got to go pay money. And they put out these yellow ballots and they hand them out at precincts. And their voters show up. They take these yellow ballots in with them and they're already pre-marked and they just fill out their ballot accordingly. But you got to pay to get that endorsement. And that's been going on for years. But if you could get that and get all this lined up, then who knows? But I guess it's to me, it's still a long shot at this point. And you're starting to see a little bit of the trend going back the other way. Now that gas prices seem like they're going down, we'll see it at this memorandum of understanding situation with Iran holds. There's some movement through the Strait of Hormuz. There is a sell-off today on Wall Street, but it looks like it's profit-taking in the tech sector. But once we get to the pump and those prices start coming down, that's going to be off the table. Or it won't be quite as powerful as say it would be, would have been a month ago. And things will start moving back that way. But Republicans still got a lot of work to do. I think AL won. Jerry Carr looks pretty good there. And then the Trump endorsement for Rep Marcus is a really big shot in the arm there. There's a lot of unknowns heading into that primary. He still was probably a favorite, but now that solidifies him. And I think you'll see more of these endorsements kind of come around now that Trump has greenlit it. And that's kind of where the politics are with this election looming on August 11th, which I anticipate very low turnout. But, there's another thing. It's a low turnout event. If it's polled, you got to wonder, what kind of participation you're going to have and if anybody has a shot at rallying enough votes to get within range. But it's hard for me to see that path right now. Today on June the 23rd. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Travis Johnson coming up in the next segment, so make sure you stick around for that. See here, Adam is Katie endorsing red as well. Yeah, because in Trump's statement, he mentioned that. I assume that that's the case, that the endorsement still stands for Rhett Marcus. Gene, your pastor is a terrible ambassador for Mobile. It proves to us all that he doesn't deserve the privilege of representing all of Mobile. Well, somebody needs to, I mean, like, you have a bunch of wild-eyed ideologues on that board, that Visit Mobile board, who want to use it for their own little, for their own little, like, hobby horse exercises. It's just, they're just going to show us that we don't know what's good for you guys in Mobile. Don't know what's good for you. That's we're just going to take it to you. You're not going to convince me otherwise. Sorry, Gene. Thanks for playing, though. Ultra Runner, patriotism is surging with the USC and men's soccer. The formerly elitist Europeans are now praising all things American. Seattle looked normal for the first time in a decade. I think patriotism will help us in the midterms. Do you? That's interesting. Does it last until November? And it is going to be a fight for Democrats to do this. Hey, your country, it stinks right now. Go vote for someone else on America's 250th birthday. I tell you, you want to know, guys, how you know it's a slow news cycle? You want to know that they don't have anything? They are making the reflecting pool in front of the Capitol on the National Mall the big issue. That and the name on the Kennedy Center. Trump's name being taken down. That, you know, the institutional left, your pseudo-intellectual book clubbers who worked the New York Times crossword puzzle or whatever, they're like, a big win for them is getting Donald Trump's name taken off the Kennedy Center. You know, it's just... I guess this is like the resistance is moves very incrementally. But that's how you can tell. There's just not a – when they had to hype up that – was it Whoopi Goldberg on The View yesterday suggested jail time for Trump on the reflecting pool? Anybody's ever been to D.C., so the National Mall on the far east side is the Capitol. And then on the, you got the Washington Monument. You got the Jefferson Memorial. Kind of just to the north of the Washington Monument is the White House. They had the Lincoln Memorial all the way on the far east end. But you have these reflecting pools that, and you know, you have some ducks. You've always had the ducks there. And what Trump was trying to do was spruce it up for this big, like, pro-America celebration. From Carolina. And apparently something went wrong. But the left, the media are like really committed to this narrative that he screwed it up. And is this like the biggest news of the day? To them, it is. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.
Play me a song, cause
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. In about an hour from now, Paul DeMarco, good friend of the program, will be with us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, our Tuesday regular for P2 Public Affairs in Washington, D.C., Will Hampson will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, calling from abroad today, but our good friend from Pathway Church, Pastor Travis Johnson. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Great to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, we've been the sort of ordeal dealing with the city of Mobile, and primarily just our for whatever reason, have chosen to celebrate or commemorate or whatever Pride Month in Mobile. I think probably unbeknownst to a lot of people who live here and pay taxes in Mobile. But, you know, you're taking up that fight. And tell us a little bit about your ordeal there and what the feedback you've been getting.
Well, first, you know, I want to say it's really great. The feedback's incredible. An overwhelming majority of people are just exhausted of this. Exhausted of their voice being hijacked. For instance, on the Visit Mobile website, mobile.org. This is our tourism bureau, funded by exclusively tax dollars. And here, listen to this political, ideological, declarative statement being made on behalf of all of Mobile. We embrace all love. This is Visit Mobile. We embrace all love. In the board meeting, I ask, who is we? Who is we? And what we found out this week is sure is not the majority of Mobile. Mobile is saying, no, this is not our agenda. This is not our culture. Actually, it goes on to say, we embrace all love and Mobile's inclusive culture. And so when you're trying to figure out what is that culture, well, all love, I guess that's the L, the G, the B, the T, the Q, the I, the A, the plus. I mean, what are we talking about? This is not Mobile. That's why there's the friction, is this money is being spent and there's bureaucrats that do not represent the city, the people, the county, and they're making these very ideological statements, and they're not accurate. Yet, it's funded fully, almost exclusively, by tax dollars. So yeah, the overwhelming support. I mean, there were posts that were put up in Mobile word of mouth, and you know, very strong, and a lot of false statements made in there too, but. You know, Jeff, what was so crazy is the comments did not go the way that they thought they were going to go. And I couldn't be more proud of Mobile. It was just an amazing moment.
Something I learned based on your social media feed is that there is such a thing exists. The Mobile Democratic Socialist of America, that we have a chapter of Democratic Socialist in this this municipality here, but they come out swinging too. I guess that's kind of more of a resume enhancer, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's that's great. You know, I think it says a lot. You know, they've gone after me in a couple posts, and you know, I was glad to get down into one of them and say, you know, thank you for the prolific honor of not being endorsed by the Democratic Socialists of America. That was really wonderful. I was very much glad for that. And, you know, I think that there's a pattern recognition. I've seen a lot of the comments, a lot of the activity, and I have a much better understanding than ever of where a lot of this energy is coming from. And it's coming from groups like this. And so this is like the extreme of the extreme. It not only is it not mainline, this is not welcome. And I mean, socialism, first of all, let me say this, socialism and communism. I don't know if I should say this exactly like this, but it sucks. It's really bad. It doesn't work. It fails. It runs out of other people's money. And then the reason that these, you know, extremist groups have to use tax dollars is because nobody's giving to that. Actually, this is another thing I found out. Jeff, check this out. If you go and look at like the top LGBTQ extremist groups that are centered in Mobile, and you look at what they raise, what their budget is, it's minuscule. It's almost nothing. It's like less than a single church. That would be my estimation. And so I want you to think about this. There's a lot of talk in these groups, like pastors should be quiet. They shouldn't be involved in politics. They need to pay taxes, which pastors pay taxes just like everybody else. One, two, the church, we should revoke the church's tax exemption, which I guess you would do that for churches, schools, hospitals. Oh, yeah. Also for Visit Mobile. Oh, this is the other thing that's really interesting when you look at that comparison, is that churches are funded almost exclusively by voluntary donations of their members, whereas Visit Mobile is funded almost exclusively by tax money that's collected in Mobile to push an agenda, a political ideology that says we embrace all love. And then you have these little agitant groups like, you know, Mobile Socialists of America, like all seven of those guys get together, and they come out of their mom's basements, and then they trash talk families all over Mobile. And this, it's funded. A lot of this stuff is funded from a very small pot. And they collect up on Reddit. They trash talk you on Reddit, get the little hive minds stirred up, and you come out and get these really crazy people doxing, posting your address. This happened this week. People saying they're going to get a group at my house, and people saying they're going to show up and shut down the church. Both of those things happened this week in those threads. These are not normal, regular activities that represent the culture of Mobile.
No, it's a bullying thing, and you know they get angry about it. You know, so the pastor, it's funny to me. You know, this time a year ago was an election year. We didn't hear a lot of this. This sort of goes away every fourth year. I don't know if you track this, but it's interesting how that works. And I just, you know, obviously I think it goes away on election years because it's just not popular. It's not something people want, and they kind of pump the brakes on it. But then the rest of the time, it's like we fight this fight every year.
It's a deal killer. It's a deal breaker in an election all over America. I mean, unless you're, you know, in, you know, Los Angeles or San Francisco, you know, unless you're in one of these really extremist places in the country, which actually, if they had voter ID, probably would not be the case there either. So, you know, what you end up having is just this. You're right. It can't survive on a vote, and we should be informed by it. Listen, I would even say we've seen it in some of our most recent elections. People did not get elected over this issue on their votes on these issues.
Well, it's this. Now, you know, no one's saying that we shouldn't encourage tourism and, you know, well, whatever it is. We have this lodging tax that goes toward this. But, it's pretty obvious that, like, this isn't it. This is being used in a way for these people on this board to make their own, like, political statement here. And that's not what this is for. How many, just look at it, how many LGBTQ practitioners or whatever you want to call them are like looking at their, you know, it's Pride Month, we're going to take some time off and go on vacation, or are actually doing, seriously considering Mobile at all. They're just doing this just to do it. They're not doing it for the stated purpose of Visit Mobile, which is to raise awareness and bring in more tourists to the city.
Well, I mean, if you're wanting to make a good business decision, you target your market that's most likely to be participating in your business. And so we're talking about a very small and a very small population. And then certain portions of that population are very, very challenging when those activities and the events are being promoted by our tax dollars. Listen, as long as this is going on, this will be a major friction in our community, because the largest market, the actual culture of Mobile, which is the actual culture of Mobile, is not LGBTQIA affirming. It's we in all love. I mean, what what is all love? Because from my understanding, all of the a lot of those pieces there are actually rejected by a like 85% of the population. Yet we're mobilizing on this and we're picking this place to, you know, plant a flag. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting about what I'm involved in right now is because my banner is made possible, or it's made a major problem, free speech, constitutional issue for the city, because of viewpoint neutrality and equal access. But we see that Mobile has not taken a neutral position. This is an ideological position, a political position that we embrace all love. So what we have is we actually have our tourism bureau taking a political position and using that tax to actually reshape and change Mobile.
Let me say this. And I was kind of called into the principal's office several years ago and sat down with Mayor Stimson. And he like explained it to me. It was like, you know, all this group cares about is bringing as many tourists in to Mobile as possible. That they weren't really thinking about this gesture. And we're going to change things. You know, this is not really... But it's like they make that statement, and then, like, we look at this, and is this really bringing in the tourism? Is this really changing things? And no, and things kind of change, and they leave open these, I guess it was a loophole is the way it's explained to me. But, like, this is, you know, whatever you think of these banners or whatever, it's not something that people want. If you're right, if we lived in California, if we lived in San Francisco and the people there decided that this is the kind of city you wanted, okay, that's what they got to do. That's their culture. I you know, but we don't want that here, but we keep coming back to it. And I said this last time you're on, we have this fight every single time, and no one, they always find a way to do this. When does this ever stop until they have a sort of a due process? And we could talk about this. We have a town hall or whatever it is. Is this the direction we want to go with our tourism dollars? And clearly this is not it. But it keeps coming back to this. There's something pulling us back in this direction every single time.
Well, I'm quite positive. If you go and you look at how much pride and, you know, we embrace all love, all of this, these false statements, and the focus on this particular special interest group, and ask yourself, when you look at the Visit Mobile website, is it representative? Is it proportional? I mean, okay, it's pick evangelicals, pick families, pick baseball, pick soccer, pick youth athletics. The different things, you know, Foley is covered up in sports tourism. Right, because this is actually a large market, youth athletics. Now go look at Visit Mobile and see if we're giving reasonable and equal time to these other, actually much more profitable.
Yeah, are we celebrating soccer? We built this big soccer complex or whatever. Like, are we doing all the things you look at? You're right. Like, what does Mobile have to offer? And maybe it's not obvious. Maybe it's not like we're not going to do like a big battleship celebration or whatever. Landmarks people come to this city to see, probably doing other things to highlight. And this always seems to commandeer such a large chunk of their efforts.
Well, yeah. And so, you know, the conversation that actually started with me, they put these flags. How did that happen? Oh, here's this policy. Oh, look, this policy, it can work for me. And so I put my piece up, and then the response is, oh my goodness, we need to cancel this policy. Wait, why are we becoming so concerned at a pro-family policy, a pro-family banner, that we would cancel the policy? Yet when you have 6 foot plus linebacker looking drag queens dancing with kids in front of our historic cathedral in 2023, you know, we're not canceling the policy then. We're not canceling the policy when the Pride Month banners go up, which is most definitely an ideological statement. So, you know, you just have to go, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And this is a broad value that's held. It's not Republican, Democrat. It's not white, black. It's not rich, poor. Mobile overwhelmingly honors the nuclear family and overwhelmingly rejects the idea of men and women's bathrooms, men and women's sports, men as the, you know, the woman of the year. Overwhelmingly reject this.
And I can hear it from afar, you know, members of the city council or people listening to this show on city government. Oh, here we go again. Here they go again. Well, stop doing it if you don't want us to go again. Because, like, you know, you can't do this without getting some kind of pushback. And there's a way to have a policy that's neutral and take this out. But they don't. They want to just, it's like there's some people who are involved in city government who just want to show guys like us that they're going to have their way. And I'll let you have the last word.
No, I think the last word is this, is that the people of Mobile are incredible. The families, the people who get at work, they're hustling and, you know, adding to the city. They're pretty amazing, and they come from all stripes and all backgrounds. And this, you know, heated activism is not representative of our whole city or even close. This is a small group of people. We've learned it. Some of them are ready to threaten, to dox, to show up your house, show up at your church, try and shut it down, all of this stuff. This is not who Mobile is. Mobile is family friendly. We're a faith-filled community that is hospitable to people. It's an amazing city. And I'm just so thankful to all of the incredible support and all that's going to come out of this.
Pastor, we appreciate your time this morning. Safe travels, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, sir. Take care, Jeff.
Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I'm so happy, no sorrow. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line. Jason, can you ask the pastor if any other churches have reached out to him with him and let him know I'm thankful for his stand? I don't know what the other churches are doing. I know that he's kind of the go-to guy on this because he's on the Visit Mobile board. And the whole point is just to kind of curb some of this. I mean, I do think it's just virtue signaling by some people who got these appointments. So anyway, thanks for the text, Jason. Ben, I saw this morning someone referred to it as the arresting pool, made me laugh. DEI texter, does Charlotte better hope hell is in a real place? I bet it is exhausting spending all your time hating people for who they are and sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. I tell you what, it's not as if, you know, the nose is going to find this and seeking it out. It's brought up and flaunted in front of everybody. And I'm going to tell you, DI texture, it's not people sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. It's having their noses rubbed in it. So you're just wrong about that. Charles, amen, we need to speak up. Christian men need to speak out. I just, you know, whatever your reason, and you guys out there could come up for any number of reasons to oppose a sort of policy. You can. Be it biblical, be it moral, be it ethical, and you can support it. But what you would like to see is it represent what people think in this city and not being, what like I said, one of these situations where a small group of people just want to rub the majority's nose in something that they don't support and just show them. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.